Okay, for today, what I want to do is tell you a little Dvar Torah in honor of the seal of Masecht Pesachim. I think many of you here learned Daf Yomi, and I wish you all a Mazel Tov. You will probably finish Masecht Pesachim on Shabbos. Now it's Masecht Shkolim, a very hard Masecht. The language is a little bit more difficult. But I always was very fond of going to Siyumim and hearing interesting ideas to relate the end of the Masecht, the beginning of the Masecht, just different general ideas relating to the end of the Masecht. So the first thing that I want to mention is why is this Masechta called Pesachim, B'loshen Rabim? All of the other Masechtas in Shas are generally, not all, are called are B'loshen Yachid. Shabbos. Okay, Erevin is plural. Erevin, there are two Eruvim, that's true.
Pesachim.
That's the question. Why is it Pesachim? Why isn't it, well, Brachos is plural. It's not Brachos, it's Brachos. We have to go through the Masechtas. Why are... What?
Yoma is one.
There's only one day. Rosh Hashanah. Even though there are multiple Rosh Hashanah. Shavuos. What?
Yivamos.
So you have to... You're right. You have to go Nidorim. That's true. So you have to look at each one individually. Why is one Masechtas Lashon Yachid? Why is Lashon Rabin? Nazir Lashon Yachid. Right, that's true. Tamid. That's not Tamidin. Masechtas Tamid, not Tamidin. All right, so yeah,
brachas.
What brachas? Yeah, I said brachas. It's midos, not mida. It's interesting. Pesos, correct? Nida, not nidos. You go through them all. You're on a roll. Okay, but why you have to analyze one at a time? So, what are the common reasons why the Masechta is plural, not singular? So, one answer is that the truth is there are two psachim. There's Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. And until you get to the fifth perek, you're really learning about Pesach Rishon. Pesach, you get to the fifth perek, Mishemeso, person, someone is Tomei because he's Tumas Meis, then he cannot bring the Pesach Rishon, he brings the Pesach Sheni. In fact, there's a shift in the Masechta from Pesach Rishon to Pesach Sheni. That's one very similar reason. In fact, I think someone in the Farshim said that when you look in the Rishon, some of the Rishon, when they refer to a halacha, a daf, in the first half of the Masechta, they say in Pesach Rishon. They actually refer to the first four parakim as Pesach Rishon. And when you get to this from the fifth parak and forward, and they refer to it, they refer in Pesach Sheni. It could be even that in some old printings, you have to go look in that encyclopedia of the printing of Shas. In some of the old printings of the Shas, it could be that it was also divided. There's a Pesach Rishon, the Pesach Sheni. So in Tobi, it was called Psachim Loshon Rabbi. I came across a new idea, which is very interesting, is that the Yud Mem stands for, doesn't really, it's not the plural of Pesach. It's a little bit of a stretch. But the Yud Mem stands for Yitzias Mitzrayim, and really alludes to the last Perek Ari Pesachim. In Ari Pesachim, we learn about the Matzah, the Maror, Haggadah, and all of the related topics relating to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Yud Mem was cleverly appended to Pesach. Really, would have been Masechta to Pesach. But because we also want to allude to Matzah, Maror, Haggadah, and all the mitzvos hakliyos for the Yom Tov of Pesach, so it's Yud Mem, which becomes Pesachim, which also
the Yam, crossing the Yam,
crossing Kriyas Yamsuf. I didn't see that, but it's an idea. Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, just a little bit of an interesting idea, something a little bit different. Okay. Now this bar I saw, this attack I like very from the Baradishiva. The Baradishiva is famous for the following bar. This is not really related to what I'm going to tell you, but everyone, this other idea is hidden in his words. What is the Baradishiva famous for? The question, why do we call the holiday Pesach, when in the Torah, nowhere is it called Pesach. It's called Chag HaMatzos. So the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos, and we call it Chag HaPesach. The Yom Chag, we call it Pesach. So the Baradishiva says, because the term Chag HaMatzos captures the chavivos that Hashem has for us. Now, when Hashem appeared for us, if this is the way the Rabbi Dishuva seems to present it, if we wanted, we could have just said, we need a few more minutes. We need a few more minutes to get our bread, to pack up our bread, let the bread rise. We were excited. Lechtech achrei b'amidbar b'yeretz l'zruh. We were in a rush to follow Hashem. Hashem is here. Let's go. We don't care about anything The fact that we did not allow our bread to rise and we immediately ran, we chased after the Shekhinah, is a shevach for Klal Yisrael. When Hashem refers to the holiday, Hashem gives us praise. Hashem says, Chag Hamatzos. Look at my people, they had such chavivus, they ran after me when I appeared to them. On the other hand, when we refer to the Yom Tov, we refer to it as Chag HaPesach, because Pesach means, the Targum translates the word Pesach, V'chomal. Or Pesach Hashem ala Pesach, Hashem will pass over the opening, which also is interpreted that Hashem will have compassion. Or Pesach Hashem al Botei B'nei Yisrael, Hashem will have... Targum Unkelos. Hashem will have compassion upon Klal Yisrael. So when we refer to the holiday, we don't want to give ourselves praise that we ran after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, we want to channel the praise to Hashem that Hashem had rachem upon us, that He had compassion upon us. We call it Chag HaPesach. Okay, that's a very popular vart, very well-known vart. Yeah.
Could be also that today,
yeah.
Matzahs.
Yeah.
But someday when they rebuild the base of
Midrash, we're going to have the Karm Pesach. That's Allah. We're looking forward to the future. Okay, that's a nice idea. We're looking forward to the future when we'll once again have the Karm Pesach. But in his Vart, the Baditshva, he discusses, he mentions the fact that Klal Yisrael in the Midbar only offered one Karban Pesach. Because there is a requirement, you're not allowed to bring Karban Pesach if you do not perform Bris Milah. And seemingly the majority of Klal Yisrael had children during those years when they were in the desert, and they were not able to circumcise their children because of Sakana. They were Anani HaKavod, and the wind was not blowing, the ear was not the environment was not conducive to a healthy Bris Milah. They didn't want to take the risk. They did not do Bris Milah, so there was only one Karban Pesach that was offered in Egypt, in the Midbar, all 40 years. And Chazal are not very happy with that fact. It's a gnai, it's a gnai hu li Yisrael, shelo yikrivu elo Karban Pesach echad kol arbom shana shahayu b'mer. Say along those words. Chazal actually say those words. It's not a good thing to talk about that they were not willing to risk their lives just a little bit in order to bring the Karban Pesach during those 40 years by, don't worry about the Bris Milah, you'll survive, you'll figure out a way, you'll bring in some doctors, you'll figure out a way to make sure that you can get through the Bris Milah. So the Barditshava there says, that's why it's called Masechta Pesachim, B'Loshon Rabbim. Because if we would call it Pesach, singular, it's a reminder, Ginaihu li Yisrael, they were only makriv one Karban Pesach in the entire story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They were makriv it when they left, they were makriv it in the Midbar. We don't want to call them a sechta after in the singular tense, where Chazal explicitly tell us that when you say Pesach in the singular form, it doesn't bring merit for Klal Yisrael. We had no choice but to upgrade Pesach to the term Pesach. Very interesting idea, a new idea from the Baraditshava to explain why we call it B'loshon Rabbim. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Let's talk about the last, a little bit of halakha came in. It's not really related to the Mesim, but let's talk about this halakha issue, very interesting halakha issue at the end of the Mesechta. The last mission of the Mesechta talks about a person has to make two brachas. A law of an Urchaim halakha. A person has to make two brachas. Yeah, it's the night of Pesach. And the Pesach is Nechal al HaSoiva. You have to be either when you're satisfied. So what do you do to supplement the Karban Pesach? You bring a Chagiga. You bring a Karban Chagiga, a Zevach. That's what you eat first. And then when you finish, you eat the Karban Pesach. And that will be the dessert. And that will fill you up to the very end. So how many brachos do you need to make the night of Pesach on Karbanos? Two Karbanos. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvot Tzivanu al Achilas Zevach, Achilas HaZevach, which the Stam Zevach refers to a Karban Chagiga, or Achilas HaZevach. And then after you finish eating the Zevach, you make another bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvot Tzivanu al Achilas Pesach. So you have to make two brachos on two Karbanos. Is it the right thing to do to make a double bracha? Maybe you can make one bracha, and the one bracha will exempt for the other bracha. Just like when you make a Birchas HaMotzi, the Birchas HaMotzi exempts you for all of the food you're going to eat during the meal. If you make in the meal a Bari Priya Gofen, people have to know this halacha, in the middle of the meal, you don't make a bracha Shahako. if you have that, well, anyway, the Birchas HaMotzi, by the way, the make a Birchas HaMotzi, a Birchas HaGofen, you don't, the Birchas HaGofen patterns you've made in the bracha for you.
But these are two separate mitzvahs.
So Enochanami, the two separate mitzvahs, but that's the discussion of the Gemara. That is the guy. They're both in general category of zvach. Maybe one is a more general bracha, and that will exempt the more specific. Generally, the rules are a general bracha exempts the more specific. So the Gemara has this discussion. That's the last mission. It's the last topic of the Masechta. There we do the mission. Berach Berachas HaPesach. And the reason why I want to bring this is because it's Nogei Halacha L'maisa. Berach Berachas HaPesach. Potar Eshel Zevach. If you make a bracha, Asher Kiddushan B'mitzvah Yisrael Al-Chilas Pesach, which is more specific, that exempts you from the bracha of the Zevach. So you don't need to make a bracha on the carbon chagiga, but berach eshel zevach, loy potar eshel pesach. But if you make the bracha on the carbon chagiga, you still need to make another bracha on the carbon pesach. Who says this? Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva Imer, and this is how the Rambam paskins. It's not a Shulchan Aruch because we don't give us one azeh. Shulchan Aruch is the only things we give us one azeh. But the Rambam paskins Rabbi Akiva, loy zo potar zov, lo zo potar zov. They're independent. Okay, but according to the Rabbi Shmuel, the general exempts the specific. And the Gemara goes on to explain the reason. We'll get to the reason in a few moments. And there's a very strange halacha in the Ramah. The Ramah says if you're eating a meal, eating a dish, and in the dish there's ikur and tofel. So the halacha is you only make a bracha on the ikur, and that exempts the tofel. So let's say you have some type of soup, and you have some type of mizonos, some type of barley soup, and you have a little carrot floating around in there. So the carrot's only there to give flavor. Potato. So you only make a barley b'nei mizonos. You make a bracha barley b'nei mizonos, and you potter for making a ho'adama on the carrot or the potato, because that's the tofa. The Ramah, okay, I really should open up the Ramah, but let's just to make it very short, the Ramah says that even if you eat the potato first, you make the bracha on the potato, on the tofel, the bracha that you would make on the ikar. It's very hard to understand this Ramah. We don't actually do this very often because if you have a soup in front of you, and you have in the soup, you have potatoes, and you have barley, so what's the problem? Make a bori minei mizonos, and you finished. And the mizonos will automatically exempt the potato. But let's say you want, this is what it's mashma from the Ramah. Everyone is a little bit confused about this Ramah. Let's say you want to eat first the potato. I want to eat the potato first. I want to eat the carrot first. What do I do? So what would the average person say? You can't. You can't, because that's going to be a bracha shenet tzricha. If you're going to eat the carrot or potato first, you're going to then have to make another bracha on the mizonos. So, and then when you make the bracha on the mizonos, that really exempts the carrot or the potato. So you're not allowed to say brachos that are not necessary. So you shouldn't do it. If you're going to have a soup, and you're going to have barley, and you're going to have a potato, too bad, tough. You have to first take a sip from the mizonos before you take a sip from the, you taste the hadama. That's, I mean, how the average person looks at the halacha. That's not what it says in the Ramah. The Ramah says, if you want to eat the potato first, or the carrot first, go right ahead. And you know what bracha you make on it? You make a borei minei mizonos. Unbelievable halacha. The Ramah says, you make on a carrot, a trivia question, when do you ever eat, make a borei minei mizonos on a potato, or a carrot? The answer is, when you have a dish, and there's an ikar and the tofel, and the hadama is the tofel, and you want to eat both of them, but now you want to start by eating the tofel, you make a bracha on, you make the bracha mizonos on the tofel, and then you'll eat the potato, and then later you'll eat the mizonos. Let me say that. So the question is, where in the world did the Ramah get this halacha from? Doesn't make any sense. He got it from the last Mishnah, Masechta Pesachim. Because we have a halacha that Karban Pesach must be eaten at the end. Karban Pesach is nechal alas. Why are you eating a Karban Chagiga? The only reason why you're eating a Karban Chagiga is to fill up your stomach. because the halach is the Karban Pesach is the last thing that you eat. If you only begin with a small portion of kazayis of Pesach, once you eat the kazayis of your Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat anything else for the rest of the evening. But I'm hungry. I want to eat more. Can't. Sorry. The flavor, the taste of the Pesach must remain in your mouth. So what's the solution? Well, eat first Zevach, eat the Chagiga, fill up your stomach, leave over a little room, and then the last thing you eat will be the Karban Pesach, and that will finish off. So there's no question, it's hands down, it's a given, you cannot disagree. The last thing you're going to be eating tonight is going to be the Karban Pesach. When you're going to eat before that, it's going to be the Karban Chagiga, and you're going to be eating it in order. First Chagiga, lavish meal of Chagiga, then we bring out for dessert the Karban Pesach. And the Mishnah here says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Beirach Birchasa Pesach, if you make the bracha, Birchato Hashem, Okei Melech Olam Asher Kedoshan B'Mitzvos V'Tzvon Alachilas Pesach, then you don't have to make a bracha of Alachilas Zevach. Wait a minute. If I made a bracha on the Pesach, that means I'm now at the end of the meal. I'm at the end. So, and the last thing I'm eating is the Karban Pesach. There is no Chagiga. So what does it mean here in the Mishnah? What then does it mean in the Mishnah? By making the bracha on the Pesach, I no longer need to make a bracha on the Chagiga. The reason why I don't need to make a bracha on the Chagiga is because I'm not allowed to eat the Chagiga after I eat the Karban Pesach. The Pesach is Nechal HaSoiva. So what does it mean? So what are you going to tell me? No, I'm going in the case, so I'm going to eat the Pesach first. But you can't eat the Chagiga, it's forbidden. But yet it says, if you make a bracha on the Pesach, that will exempt the Chagiga. So you know what the Pesach and the Mishnah must be? I forgot who says this. I don't remember who says this. I saw this in the Sefer Hadronim. It must be, the Pesach and the Mishnah is telling you that when you have in front of you Chagiga and Pesach, when you eat the Chagiga, since you're eating the Chagiga with the knowledge that at the end of the meal you're going to be eating the Karban Pesach, and the Karban Pesach is a better bracha, you make on the Chagiga the bracha of the Iker. The Chagiga is the Tofel, the Pesach is the Iker. You make a bracha on the birch of the Iker on the Tofel. So if you have in front of you soup, and in the soup you have potatoes, which is the tofel, and mizonos, which is the ikar, and you want to eat first the tofel, the hoadama, the potatoes, with the knowledge that after you eat the potatoes, you're going to eat the mizonos, you make a bracha, borei minei mizonos, on the potatoes. That's what comes out, an incredible chiddush, which comes out from the very last Mishnah of Masechta Pesachim. Yeah.
You said we don't possibly go.
We don't paskin like Rabbi Shmuel when it comes to the Karban Pesach.
So how does it bring a
but we do paskin. We do paskin in concept like him when it comes to questions of Orichan. The reason why we don't pask like him is because by Pesach it's not because of the Ikar and Tafel. Conceptually, the idea of Ikar and Tafel is correct. The only problem with Rabbi Shmuel is why he views the Pesach to be the Ikar and the Zevach to be the Tafel. That we disagree with. We view the Pesach to be the Iker and the Chagiga to be the Tofel. If, based upon the rules of Iker v'Tofel, Rabbi Shmuel is correct. The only reason why the Rambam does not pass like Rabbi Shmuel is because we hold that the Pesach is not the Iker. The Zevach is also an Iker. There are two Ikarim. It's a technical reason why we don't accept his reason in the case of the Mishnah. But as far as the rules of Ikar v'Tofel, that we do accept. That's very important. You learn Gemara. Just because you don't pass like a certain opinion does not mean that their ideas, that their reasoning doesn't have applications in other areas of halacha. I mean, to tell you an example.
If I'm eating cereal with milk in the morning.
Right.
It would be the cereal, right?
Right. So if you drink the milk first.
Some milk because I'm thirsty.
You would make a bracha on the cereal first. You make a barim name mizonos, even though the first thing that you're putting in your mouth is a spoonful of milk. That is what comes out from the Rambam. Yeah. Now, I don't know if this is the ideal. This is a chiddush. I don't know. What?
Taking the whole picture into account.
Yeah, right. I don't know if that's the ideal thing to do. I don't think so. I think halacha lemaisa, it's not the ideal. The ideal thing is you have cereal milk and you make a bracha on the ikar, you should have at least a little bit of the ikar in the spoon. A mashu of the ikar in the spoon. That's the way what people do. But he's explaining a Ramah. The Ramah explicitly says this. I don't have the simon in front of me. The Ramah explicitly says the case that I told you, your case as well. If you have a cereal and you have milk and you take a spoonful of pure milk, the Ramah says, you know, you're not allowed to be toyim from anything in this world before you make a bracha. So what bracha should you make? Shahakol? So you can't make a shahakol, because if you can make a shahakol, 1 minute later you're going to be making barim name zonos and your Cheerios, and then that bracha would have exempted the shahakol of the milk. So it's a bracha shein etzricha. You know how to do that. That's right, the Ramos. You know what bracha you make on the milk? You make a barim name zonos. That's where does it get that everyone is stunned? Where does Ramah get such a halacha? What kind of, where do you find a makar for this? In Shas, such a halacha. Tzeferish HaMishnah, and the Masechta Pesachim, the last Mishnah, the last two lines of the Masechta. The last two lines of Masechta is because you have here Pesach and you have here Chagiga, and they're telling you that when you make the bracha on the Pesach, that exempts the bracha for the Chagiga. You can't tell me this, the order is first Pesach and Chagiga. That's clearly wrong. The Pesach must be the last thing. It must be in Chagiga, and the Mishnah is telling you that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you should make the bracha on the Chagiga, Asher Kedushan B'mitzvot and Mitzvot Alachilas Pesach. Because the bracha, that bracha is the ikur. That's where we're heading tonight. And the ikur is plate of the tafel. We look at the big picture, as Rabbi Michal said. And therefore, that's why even when you're only eating now the chagiga, you can still make a bracha, a pesach in advance. It's a tremendous chiddush. It's an incredible chiddush. But that's what comes out from the Mishnah, and that's what the Ramah says explicitly, and we get a reasoning from this Mishnah. Yeah.
Is there such a thing as personal taste? In other words, it's a potato.
Generally not. No. Ikar and tafel are defined in Shulchan Aruch, not by a person's preference. You only have that right preference.
I like the potato.
No, it doesn't matter. Your preference does not have any bearing on mezonos versus adama. Your preference may have bearing between potatoes and carrots.
Yeah.
Then you can have that in the same league. But Shulchan Aruch makes it very clear. Preference is based upon Gezeres HaKosav. It's based upon criteria which is not subject to your preference.
What if you have a fruit soup?
A fruit soup, yeah, what's the question?
Let's say you have a soup, it's predominantly water, and then you put
Same thing. Technically speaking, based upon what the Ramos says, if you were to take a spoonful of the liquid, you'd make a boy pre ho'etz. Oh, but it's shahakol, doesn't matter. Since the ikur is ho'etz, the ikur, that bracha, is said even when you're first tasting from the tafel, independently. Okay, now let's do two quick things. I got the ending of the Masechta. Now the Gemara goes further, and the Gemara says, why is it, according to Rabbi Shmuel, this is a very interesting agadic idea, why is it, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the bracha you make on the Karim Pesach exempts the bracha on the Chagiga? So the answer is, it has to do with the avoda. It's not because Pesach, there are different reasons, Yerushalmi has reasons, different psukim, different words, but the Gemara here says something very simple. What is the ikar avoda of a karban? The application of the blood on the mizbeach. You say karbanos every day, you are aware that there's a unique way to apply the blood of the Pesach on the mizbeach. Shficha. You collect the blood in a utensil, and you take the utensil, and you pour it very gently. Shricha, you pour it on the foundation of the Mizbeach. How do you apply the blood of a Chagiga on the Mizbeach? Chagiga is a Kagashla Shlamim. Zrika. You don't pour it. You take it in the utensil, you throw it. Okay, you throw Hazaz with your finger, that's only for a Chatas. You take it. It's a violent action. You have a bowl of blood. You throw it on the corner of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, do you know why you make a bracha on the Pesach? Because Zurika is Bichlal Shvich. In other words, what the Gemara seems to be saying is, on a very literal level, if you were to make a mistake, and you were to take a Chagiga, and instead of throwing it, you were to pour it on the Mizbeach, Yotza, it's a good avoda. You have fulfilled your obligation. But if you were to take the carbon Pesach and throw it, if you were to take the Chagiga, make sure I take Chagiga, instead of throwing it, you were to pour it, it's okay, b'dieved yotza. But if you were to take the carbon Pesach, the blood of the carbon Pesach, and instead of pouring it, gently, you were to throw it on the foundation, lo yatsa. You have not fulfilled the obligation. The Torah v'shafach es damo. The pasuk says you have to pour the blood on the mizbeach. V'shafach. So therefore, since by the chagiga, you bidyavit, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, instead of doing zrika, you do shvicha, it's okay. But by the carbon pesach, if you go the other way around, it's no good. That goes to show that the carbon chagiga is included in within the world of the carbon pesach. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Reading the words of the Gemara, Ledivrei Rabbi Shmuel, Zerika Bichlal Shvicha. If you throw it, that's what is ideal. But if you don't do what is ideal, instead you pour it on the foundation, it's okay. That's why if you make the bracha Asher Kedushan B'mitzvot Sana L'Achilas Pesach, it's okay, because the concept of Pesach, which includes Shvicha, includes within it other korbanos which are done through an action of Zerika. But shvich v'loy shvicha b'chlal zrika. But if you make a bracha on al hazevach, that cannot include the carbon pesach, because zevach is done through zrika. And if you do the carbon pesach, which requires shvicha and the zrika motion, lo yatsa, you'd have not fulfilled your obligation. So it has to do with this idea of shvicha and zrika. Okay, that's the Gemara. What?
There's a line in the Haggadah which kind of like blurs this.
Yes.
Talking about the future,
Yagia, it reaches Yagia. It's a right Yagia because it's done in different ways. It's done in different ways. Correct. Now the Rabbi Akiva holds that Yiloyatza. He holds that they're separate. One is not included in the other. But I think there's a Musar Haskel. There's a little bit of Musar in the end of the Masechta. Is that in life sometimes you do things violently. Zrika is a violent action, and there are things you do very gently. Shvicha, you pour. Anything that you can do through violence, you can do gently. The last words, the last words. Not there's no more to with opinion. I've been the Musar Haskel of Pesachim is anything that can be done through violence can be done gently. Zrika is bechlal shvicha. But something which requires to be done in a gentle way, you can't do it in a violent way. A carbon that needs zurika, carbon zevach, that's what the Torah does not mock. You don't have to be refined. You can be violent when it comes to the carbon zevach. But if you want to do it in a refined way, you want to do it in shvicha, to pour it gently, that's okay. Yatsa. That's why if you make the bracha Asher Kedushan B'mitzvot Tzvanu al achilas Pesach for the carbon chagiga, yatsa. But a carbon Pesach which has to be done in a refined way, shvicha, you can't do it in a violent way. And that's the end of the Masechta. It's interesting. All two korbanos require shvicha, Pesach and Maaser. Pesach, it's the most refined carbon. Because it requires shvicha. You do it in a very, you pour the blood gently on the mizbeach. That's the Musar Haskel of Pesach. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Pesach is Pesach. The mouth speaks. Hashem didn't take us out in a violent way. Hashem went to Pyro with diplomacy. Send out my people, I'll warn you once, unless you're nice. It's only when you don't want to let my people go, then there'll be makos. Then there'll be violence. But that's not the ideal. The ideal of Karban Pesach is not that it should be done. The Yitzia, the leaving of Mitzrayim, it was not meant to be done in a violent way. It was meant to be done in a refined, gentle way. What? I know that's what's going to happen. Right. I know it's going to happen like that. But don't take the wrong lesson out of Yitzias Mitzrayim, because it is a very violent story. If you go watch the Ten Commandments, oh, that's nothing compared to what's out there today. That's like rated GGG compared. Should make an updated version of this generation of the violence that's out there. But it's a dangerous thing. You walk away from Pesach. It's a lot of violence. No. That's only because Paran is stubborn, gentle. And this difference between violence and being gentle is illustrated at the very end of the Masechta between two Korbanos, the Zevach and the Pesach. Shvicha is not bichlal zrika, but zrika is bichlal zrika. Get your priorities in order. It's a very powerful lesson, this concept. Zrika bichlal shvicha. Something which you do violent with violence, if you really work hard enough, you can do it in a nice way. But something which needs to be done nicely can never be done in a violent way. That's the Musar Haskel of coming out of Pesach. Okay, one last idea the Gemara talks about. The last thing is,
yeah, that there is a time and place for actual violence.
There is. Sure. There is. A strong, that's the whole law. That's the Bush doctrine. Isn't that what Palin didn't know? What's the Bush doctrine? You have to have a strong... the initiative.
Softly and carry a big stick. It goes back to that.
That's Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay, but then... Let's go to the last idea of the Masechta. The last idea of the Masechta talks about Pinyan HaBen. Why does the Masechta conclude with Pinyan HaBen? The Gemara tells of a story where a person went to Pinyan HaBen. There are two brachas that are sent by a Pinyan HaBen. Number one, the bracha of Asher Kedushan B'mitzvah Svanu Al whatever the bracha is, Al Pinyan HaBen. And then you make a Shehechiyana. Okay, by Pinyan HaBen, you don't have any problem with Shehechiyana because the baby's not crying. There's no tsar dianuka. Okay, so the baby's all dressed up in a nice outfit and it's on a nice silver tray. Everyone
with all that garlic.
The baby is in a good mood, so you can make a shah. There's no problem with shachayana. I'm saying this for a reason. You'll see in the moment why I'm saying this. So the Gemara says this very strange question: who makes the bracha? So the Gemara says it's pashut that the father makes the bracha. Davar pashut that he makes the asher kedushanu b'mitzvos tzaru al pidyan haben. But who makes the Shechianu? Does the father make the Shechianu? Or does the Kohen make the Shechianu? On the one hand, the father, it's his mitzvah, so he's very happy. But on the other hand, the Kohen is the one that really gets benefit, because the Kohen walks away with money. He walks away with 5 shkolim, so he's the one that is deriving benefit. So the Gemara Paskins, the Shechianu is made be'ikar on the one who does the mitzvah. So there's a lot of lumdis. Okay, I'm not going into the lumdis. The shechianu, the one who does the mitzvah, the one has hana. How that ties into the last mishnah that speaks about the two brachas. There's the bracha on the zevach and there's the bracha on the korban pesach. One pot is the other. Okay, there's a lot of lumdis to explain the connection, but let's just focus on these last few words of the gemara. There's a mfarshim are very disturbed with this gemara. What is the havanina? Why should the Kohen make the bracha Shechian? Let's be realistic. Whose mitzvah is this? This is the father's mitzvah. Let's talk about a bris milah. The halacha l'maaseh, most of us, you go to a bris milah, the Avi HaBen does not make, no one makes a Shechian. Because the Tosfos says the baby is crying tzar dianuka. But there are people in Yerushalayim, if I'm not mistaken, they do make a bracha. Is that correct?
Yeah. The
in Yerushalayim, Minig Agra, they make a bracha. Who makes the bracha? Is there even a Shiloh who makes the bracha when they do make a Shachian by a Bris Milah? The Avi HaBen makes the bracha. The Avi HaBen, what's the Shiloh? He survived. Of course the father makes the bracha. If the father, it's Pashut, just because the Kohen walks away with 5 Saloyim, why should that be a reason for the Kohen to make the Shechianu? We're not people, we're not materialistic people. The mitzvah is the cause of the bracha, so of course the father should make the bracha. What in the world is going on here? Doesn't the Gemara admonish the Pella? The Gemara has a dilemma, who makes the bracha? And the Gemara says, halach is the father makes the Shechianu also. What's the havanina? So I saw an incredible chiddush by Rav Yaakov Fisher, Yisrael Yaakov Fisher. He was a very big good Eretz Yisrael. And he says, the case of the Gemara, this is an incredible chiddush. Every time you go to the Masechta Pesachim, you write to tell them this, you'll shake them all up. Ask them, what was the Havamina? And the answer is, based upon a Tosfos Masechta Becharos, the case of the Mishnah is going where the baby died. Unbelievable. When the baby, if the baby is alive, there's never even a Havamina that the father wouldn't make the Shechianu. But what happens if the baby lived to 30 days, 30 days, 31 days, 32 days, and then Rachman al-Tzlan, the baby dies? And what is the halacha? Do the parents still have to do Pinyan HaBen? Yes. If the baby lives to 30 days, and before they get a chance to do Pinyan HaBen, the baby dies, Bay, you still are mechuyev to give the money to the kohen. That's the halacha. Baby was
the baby present, of course.
No, the baby's not present anymore. The baby's buried.
Buried.
The baby is buried. The baby is buried. The baby is not here. But since the baby did live for 30 days, there was an obligation, a chiv mamon, for the father to give 5 shkolim to a kohen to redeem his child. Knew the child died. Okay, that's a problem. But that doesn't take away from my obligation to give the kohen his 5 shkolim. So now the Gemara says, now the shaila makes a lot of sense. The baby died. And now the father is going to the kohen and giving him the 5 shkolim. Who makes the Shechianu in this case? The Tsar, the father's going to make the Shechianu. The Tsar, the Yanuka. Madach, the father's making the Shechianu when the baby by the Bris Milah, according to Taitz, because of Tsar, the Yanuka. So the father make a Shechianu now when the baby died? Is it really the right thing to do? But a Shechianu has to be made. Why is Shechianu not made? He has to explain to the Gemara Taitz, and Taitz is there himself, the person explains, because the Pidah Ben is a very rare mitzvah, relatively speaking. It's a mitzvah Shabbat Mizman Lizman. It's not much more weird than a Bris Milah. Bris Milah, every male. But a Pidah Ben, it's not so. First, maybe it's a girl, and even if it's a girl, it's only going to be the first. And there has to be also no complications. You know, no complications in the birth. It's not going to be Kohen Levi, and it can't be Yotzei Doifen. Today, today, due to the complex high tech world we live in, there are a lot of more complications where Pidyon HaBen is not done. Where you go to Pidyon HaBen, they won't make a bracha. Listen carefully; they won't make a bracha. Not every case was not as there a bracha, but due to all the different situations, all different complications that happen during childbirth and in getting pregnant, and so on and so forth, all the different things. But the point is, so here you have to make a Shechianu because the mitzvah is so rare. The mitzvah is so rare, a Shechianu must be made. You can't come on to the answer, our Tsar the Yanuka is going to take away the Shechianu. That's a good reason to take away the Shechianu by a Bris Milah. By a Bris Milah, it's common, a Bris Milah, so it's not such a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, of course, but it's not as of a big deal of the mitzvahs. And therefore, if you have an excuse not to make a Shechianu, you don't have to make a Shechianu, Tsar the Yanuka. But a Pidyon HaBen, you have to make a Shechianu. But here we have an unusual circumstance where the parents are in mourning. They're in mourning that their baby died before they had a chance to do Pidyon HaBen. Who makes a Shechianu? Oh, now the Shaila makes a lot of sense. Do we give it to the father still because he's doing a mitzvah? No, so he's doing a mitzvah.
Shiva, they wouldn't be allowed.
Well, let's say it's not during Shiva. Let's say it's after Shiva. Or no, in this type of situation when the baby died, maybe the right thing is to give to the kohen because he also has a reason to make the Shechianu because he's binene, he gets the 5 shkolim. It's an incredible idea. It opens up a whole new understanding in the sugya, a whole new lumness of what's the kohen having hana. The hana is enough. Okay, not, there's a lot of lumness you can discuss. Now, why do I bring up this issue? Because Rav Fisher, he takes this idea and he goes off on a tangent. It's a beautiful idea. He takes this idea and he ties it into what the Sima Sechel is all about. He asks a very simple question. Why don't we make a Shechianu every time you finish a Masechta? Finishing a Masechta, L'chora, fits in the category, he says, of a Pidyon HaBen. It's a mitzvah, haba, mizman, lezman. It's not something which happens every day. To make a real siyum, to learn a Masechta, to know it well, to the way it should be learned, you come to make a siyum, it's a tremendous simcha. There's no greater simcha than simcha satara, and it's not something which happens every single day. You have pleasure. It fits all the rules. All the rules fit. So l'chor, you should make a Shechianu. Why don't you make a Shechianu? So he says, you see from this last sugya, that when there's tsar, already it's different. We know by Bris Milah, certainly, tsar v'yanuka. But even a mitzvah habo, mizman l'zman, like Pidyon HaBen, which a Shechianu must be made, the Gemara here says, in this case, when the parents are in tsar, we'll give it to someone else to make, who has hana, not the parent. Not the parent, not necessarily the father. More possible, the father still makes it, but it's not. So he says, when you learn the Masechta, you know what the test is? If you really learn the Masechta? Mm-hmm. If